Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start the meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, this morning we have three members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, Dennis, do you want to start?
Sure. My name's Dennis. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dennis.
I've been sober about 21 years. I got sober in Hong Kong eventually. I'm from New Zealand originally, and like many alcoholics, one of the first things I did once I started realizing I had problems with my drinking was to leave the country and figure that everything would be better if I just went to Australia. And so I went to Australia and things pretty much stayed the same there. So then I went to Hong Kong, thinking it was going to be even better there. And I can tell you, Hong Kong's a great place for drinking if you're an alcoholic. But things, I could kind of keep everything together to a certain extent, and I seemed to be on the surface successful in my jobs, and I got more and more successful, more and more senior jobs. But inside, I was absolutely, if not empty, but just turmoil and really messed up. I was having trouble remembering anything. My memory was completely going. I had to write everything down. I had a job where I was responsible for quite a lot of money and people, and I'd make these commitments in my work and then forget that I'd made them. And it was causing all sorts of trouble. People were coming into my office and saying, "Oh, have you been out for lunch? I can smell drink on you." And that, the point was, that was from the night before. So things were getting really bad. I eventually lost the job and was effectively unemployed. And the downward spiral came really rapidly. Everything fell apart very, very, very quickly. And I got to the point, I'd thought about suicide many times before, but this one day I really did get to that point that that's it. I just can't keep doing this crazy thing that I'm doing. And It was sort of, you live in very high apartment blocks in Hong Kong, and I was standing in the window, and I realized standing there that I really didn't want to kill myself. I came back inside into my apartment, and I just had this very peculiar experience, this voice that was very clear in my head. Normally, as a drinking alcoholic, it was a committee, everybody almost screaming in my head. And for a moment there was this moment of clarity, and I had this very clear voice in my head which said, "Dennis, your only problem is you're an alcoholic. Go and get some help." And so I did. I went and spoke pretty much that day to my local GP, who put me onto a drug and alcohol counsellor in Hong Kong. I went to see that lady. She gave me a lot of help and said, "You need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous." And my response was, "I'm not that bad." But I was that bad. I was an alcoholic. She could see it. And I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. That going into that very first meeting is terrifying. I walked into the room, and there, sitting across the room from me, was someone who I used to work with. And I turned around and raced out of the meeting thinking, "Oh gosh, I hope they didn't see me," and stood around outside this meeting before it started and realized, actually, I don't have any other choices left. I know now, I can see I have a problem with drinking, and if that guy's in there possibly he's got a problem too. And I went in and sat down, and he said, "Oh, hello, Dennis. I didn't know you were one of us." I said, "Well, I didn't know either." And it turned out he'd been sober for many years, and he acted as my first sponsor and got me over that first difficult few weeks of getting over the physical effects of alcohol. I spent about a year, got sober in Hong Kong. I went back to Australia, spent some more time in Australia, went back to Hong Kong. I've still kept moving around in sobriety, but the thing that now stays the same is I get into the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous as quickly as possible when I find a new place. Because what I've realized hanging around in Alcoholics Anonymous is that the people in AA are my tribe. You know, those are the people who understand me. They're people that make sense to me as well. I can still develop my career, but it's the Alcoholics Anonymous people that I need to remind me what I am, which is an alcoholic. When I first came to AA, it was, as I said, "Oh no, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not one of those. Surely I'm not that bad." Now I'm an alcoholic. It's just a fact of who I am. It's a disease that I have. I've come to understand it's a disease rather than a failing. It's something that I'm going to have forever, but I'm very lucky as an alcoholic compared with other people who have diseases. I have a very simple program that I follow. I go to AA meetings regularly. I talk to other alcoholics because they're people who understand me and kind of get me right-sized, as we say in Alcoholics Anonymous, not letting my head spin out of control. I have what I call a higher power. Some people call it God, but I call it a higher power, this idea that I'm connected to the rest of the world, that I'm trying to align myself with that force that's going on in the world. To me, it's the most obvious thing in the world that you can imagine, that there's this force for good that's happening. I was highly skeptical of the spiritual aspect of AA when I walked in, but I've come to see and see it in other people, experience in myself that power is there, and when I align myself with that power, good things happen. So I pray. I spend some time each day and just say thank you for being sober yet another day. When you're an alcoholic, it's not something to be taken for granted. I realize that I'm really only a couple of drinks away from going back to where I was, and I don't want to go back to where I was. I don't want to be a drinking alcoholic again. My life is too good as a sober alcoholic to ever want to go back there. It was unimaginable to me as a drinking alcoholic to be able to think of waking up in the morning without a hangover, to be able to just spend time and enjoy other people's company and be able to socialize without feeling out of place, and to just feel comfortable in my own skin. I think as an alcoholic, that was the kind of characteristic that I had. Nothing was ever right. Nothing was ever good enough. I was never good enough. I was always looking ahead, wanting something more, expecting something more, being upset that I didn't get what I wanted, living in resentment and worrying about things that had happened in the past. I don't suffer from that kind of mental anguish anymore. The Alcoholics Anonymous program encourages us to live in the day and just focus on the things that we can do now. It doesn't mean we ignore the future, but it means that we focus on the things that we need to do today. And it tends to be fairly simple things. As I mentioned before, I've managed to keep going in my career and continue to be successful in perhaps a different field than I was when I was in Hong Kong, but nonetheless happy and productive and looking positively towards the future. So I think I'll leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, Dennis. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. And we have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now to continue on with the sharing, Marilyn, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, I'm Marilyn, alcoholic.
Hi, Marilyn.
I'm just over 9 years sober, and it's hard to fathom how I got here. And really, at the at the end of the day, it's just a day at a time. But I was a heavy binge drinker. And I remember, from the get-go when I first picked up that bourbon and L&P, it was, I could feel it go all the way down and I felt like I'd arrived. And my drinking just took off from there. I never thought I had a problem with it because I could control it, in between times. And I kind of got into my 30s and... other people, all my friends around me were kind of growing up and I was still doing the same thing. And as Dennis said before, my head was just going crazy, and I started reading self-help books and in between the cycles of getting drunk and then recovering from really bad hangovers. And I just got to a point where I remember clearly in my 30s thinking, man, there's just got to be a better way of living your life, than this. It took me until my 40s until I got into the rooms. And, I'd had a couple of rock bottoms physically, really bad episodes. And it got to a point where, those 1 and 2 day hangovers were becoming 4 day hangovers. And then, of course, all the unpleasantries of the next day. So, my father's in recovery also. I spent a lot of time with him 12 months before I walked into the rooms. And, he would just talk to me about little snippets of things, 10% of the people are alcoholics, and I tried to stop drinking on my own the 12 months previous. And I remember going to this party, and it was a dress-up party, thank God, because, you could actually talk to people about what they were wearing, because I could never make small talk whatsoever. There was about 90 people there, and it was actually fun. I drank orange juice all night, And then at about 11:30, people started filing out of the party, and there were 9 people left, absolutely off their faces. And I was standing there watching this, and I thought, wow, there's that 10%. I'm going to bed. I woke up the next morning, they were all sick, and I was thinking, man, that just used to, that was me. I didn't stop drinking then, but there were little things like that that just made me think, oh, maybe I've just got a problem with this. And again, as I say, a couple of physical rock bottoms were just so bad. I was out one night, and I was staring at the bourbon bottle, and I thought, I've got to get out of here and do something. And, 3 days later, I walked into my first AA meeting. The thing that hooked me into it, that first AA meeting was, there was hope in there, and I saw people that that really had their lives together, and it was something that I didn't have. And the honesty that's in those rooms really, really kind of resonated with me, And, I didn't have my life together. And like Dennis, everything looked good, on the outside. I still, had the house and I had a job and all those things, but very, very, empty, very empty and very unhappy on the inside. That's how I started my recovery. I really got myself stuck into AA. I made a decision. I was so sick of drinking. I'm just so sick of it. I so wanted to stop. And I just found in that 12 months previous that I couldn't. My whole modus operandi, when I was drinking was to get smashed. And, I loved the effect. I was the party girl, and at the end of it, I was so sick of it. I was just so sick of it. And I was so sick of being sick, physically ill. So I got into the rooms and I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, and I can see these people have got really, really good lives, then I'm just going to do what I'm told. And it was the first time in my life that I made a commitment to have anybody tell me what to do, So I did all the suggested things. What that did was it really set a platform for my sobriety, and it's not not easy the first 12 months. You know, you're on this emotional roller coaster ride. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, you think about 30 years of binge drinking and not growing emotionally, it's not going to come right in 12 months. You know, you've got to put in some work here, you know, but the work that you put in, you know, and the benefits that you get, you know, are just, you know, I can say today, you know, they're mind blowing. So yeah, I did what I was told, you know, so, which was, you know, get a sponsor. So, you know, I got a sponsor and worked through the steps. And, you know, as Dennis says, you know, you come into the rooms and you see this God word everywhere and it's like, whoa, no, thank you. But, it's really about, you know, a power greater than yourself, and I could connect to that. I found that very easy. You know, you just need to look at nature and things like that. It's much bigger than what I am. So I struggled with it a little bit. You know, my sponsor said to me, you know, don't try and rationalise it because it's not something that you can rationalise. And you know, from that point forward, I found it really, really, you know, really, really easy. so yeah, I did what I was told. You know, I worked through the steps and with my sponsor, and my life significantly changed. And you know, that just laid the platform for me going forward. You know, I had a change in sponsors because my sponsor went back overseas, and you know, I have my second sponsor who I've had for a while today, and again, you know, we work through the steps, and it's just a delayering process. You know, it's a path of discovery about who you are. And you know, what I think it's given me today, which I'd never had, is, you know, I have a sense of emotional sobriety, in my life. And, also, you know, it's just given me that spiritual foundation, you know, that I never had, you know, I just never had. And, you know, that whole emptiness, you know, on the inside. So, you know, today in my life, it's just given me so many gifts. you know, I have the job of my dreams today. I have, you know, I've just travelled overseas for a whole month, you know, and I remember everything about the trip. You know, and you know, I remember when I was, you know, in my late teens, 20s, you know, I was living in Sydney. I mean, we never got past the cross. I mean, I never even visited Manly when I was there, you know. I mean, just my whole life, you know, when I was drinking was about being consumed about drinking. So even when I wasn't drinking in between those, you know, those trashy times, you know, all I was thinking about was how I was going to set the next party up. When was the next drink going to happen? You know, I would never be with alcohol. Not in my house. It was always in my house, you know. And if there was, you know, just quarter of the amount of bourbon gone out of the bottle, I'd make sure there was another bottle there just in case, you know. So I learned all of these things, you know, in AA, because I really didn't think I had a problem when I came in, you know. And I was, I used to call myself the queen of denial. I used to say, hi, Marilyn, I'm Marilyn and I'm in denial. I said that for the first 3 months while I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I couldn't say the word alcoholic. You know, and I learned all of these little things, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, don't pick up the first drink, it's the first drink that gets you drunk, you know. And, you know, I think back on my drinking and you know, I never wanted to stop drinking, you know. It was always, you know, where's the next party? You know, I never thought that, you know, I couldn't not control it. But if I look back on it, you know, if you ask me to stop in the middle of a binge, there's no way, you know, that I would be able to stop drinking. So, you know, the fantastic thing about this program is, and Dennis touched on this as well, you know, AA meetings, you know, you meet people that understand you, you know, that have the same things going on, you know, and it's just given me such a good life. My life became very narrow when I was drinking because it was all about drinking, you know, whereas today, you know, my life's just growing and it's expanded, you know, into, you know, a pretty normal life. And I have to say, you know, it's pretty exciting at times. And I, you know, I used to think, that, you know, giving up drinking would be an extremely boring life. But it's actually been the complete opposite. You know, I have very good relationships today, which I never had when I was drinking. You know, the friends that I had with when I was drinking, you know, I still, you know, have some of those friendships, and they're on a much deeper level, you know. So I'm very connected to my relationships today, and you know, in the past I really didn't give a heck, you know, about people. I was totally unreliable, you know. I'd never turn up because I was drinking somewhere, and I thought it was funny, you know. I just thought it was just, life was just a big joke, and, you know, sweet things under the carpet. So, you know, I'm a lot more present today. I can live in the moment today. But one thing that I still do is I keep coming back to AA, you know, and because AA continues to give me a good life. And, you know, for what I have to put into this program, you know, on a weekly basis, and like Dennis, I do my daily practices, you know, I do my prayers and I say thank you at night. I help other alcoholics, you know, and sometimes that's 3 hours a week and sometimes it's 6 hours a week. But compared to the 60 to 80 hours a week where I was either drinking or I was recovering from drinking, you know, it's nothing. You know, it's nothing to put in and to give back. And the other cool thing is, you know, is you're helping other people, you know, and when you see those people get well, you know, it's just such a privilege. And, you know, to be living, you know, a really healthy, honest, fun life, you know, is just it's just amazing. So, you know, I'm very grateful to AA, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that are more sober than me. They've got more years up, you know, and I talk to them about, you know, why they keep coming back. And, you know, there was one guy I was talking to, and he's about 28 years sober, you know, and he said to me, you know, he's just seen the carnage of people that leave the rooms, you know, and go and drink again and come back. And, you know, he made a commitment when he was 4 or 5 years sober to keep coming back. So, you know, I've done the same thing. It really, for what it gives me, at the end of the day, I've got something fantastic going on in my life. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of the fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And our last speaker this morning is Darren. Do you want to share?
Hi, I'm Darren. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Darren.
My journey in sobriety has... it's been about 6 months long. It's been... it hasn't been perfect. And I think, you know, in the build-up to that final transition when, you know, I did accept that I was an alcoholic and made that decision to, you know, get sober and stay sober, it's been a long journey for me. I think, you know, I didn't want to stop drinking. Alcohol had become such an important part of me being able to cope with life that the thought of taking it away and getting sober was, you know, terrifying for me. I used to use alcohol to, you know, manage every difficult aspect of my life, and I didn't have an understanding at the time that alcohol was actually one of the reasons why it was continuing to get harder and worse and worse and worse. And that's one of the things that, you know, I've been able to understand through coming into the rooms and through working and speaking with other alcoholics and working the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, my experience with alcohol was it was a central figure that my life was built around. I used to use it every day. I was a daily drinker. It had got to the point where I'd start the weekend drinking in the morning and continue through until I managed to get myself back to work. If that happened, sometimes that I wouldn't be successful in being able to do that after the weekends. And I watched over, you know, kind of the last couple of years of my drinking, just, you know, what we say in Alcoholics Anonymous is my life become completely unmanageable. and it was an extremely frustrating, painful process. I lost a lot in that time, relationships, money, my reputation, my professional reputation went, you know, to tatters. And finally, I'd got to the point where I started to have these massive episodes of drinking that I couldn't stop. And I just didn't know what to do. I mean, it started in the weekend and then I'd be taking days off work sometimes. I mean, the worst was probably weeks. And finally, you know, my friends and family, those people that were left in my life that I hadn't pushed away, shut out of my life so that no one could do anything about my drinking, intervened and stepped in and said, hey, look, you know, this is, you need to get some help. And I had, you know, the fortune of going to a treatment centre, which was not something that I had ever imagined in my life I would do. But it really was a wake-up call. I mean, I was very fortunate to be able to step out of the chaos that was my life and to be able to go into a treatment centre and be exposed to the Alcoholics Anonymous program, the 12-step program, for the first time, and be able to step back and look at what was happening to me and how I was thinking and what alcohol had become in my life and what damage it was doing, because I was in denial as well. I thought alcohol was a friend that used to help me get through life rather than the fact that it was a central reason for everything being so incredibly difficult. And that's where my journey with recovery and sobriety really started. But, you know, in treatment, it's an amazing start to understanding, but you can't just walk out of the doors of a treatment centre and go, hooray, I'm sober. I'm now going to start living my life sober. I came out, and even though I had a fantastic plan, plans don't do the work for you. You've got to have support because, you know, alcohol was so important in my life that you took it away. I took alcohol away and I was just an empty vessel that didn't have alcohol to be something that I could numb the stresses of the world with. And so, you know, I found sober life in those early weeks incredibly overwhelming and painful. And so, you know, I fell flat on my face because I didn't have the support that I needed. And so I quickly realized if I want to stay sober, which is my only chance of, you know, regaining happiness and a full and rich life, which I had heard was on offer in sobriety, then I needed to get some help. And so I started, you know, going to heaps of meetings because in those meetings were people that, you know, aren't people that are just struggling in early sobriety. In the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's full of people that have managed to stay sober and, you know, stay sober long term. And I quickly realized that, well, those are the people that have learned how to apply this program in their life and they seem happy. So, you know, that's something that I want as well. And I got a sponsor and that sponsor, you know, taught me how to have this program in my life and how to, you know, apply it so that I can also learn how to manage life and how to learn how to cope with all the things that come along that used to just bowl me over. And so far that's been my experience, and I've been incredibly lucky. I've been supported by the people in the rooms, I've been supported by my sponsor, and I just keep coming back and I just do what I'm asked to do in this program, and it is working. And I think, you know, that's what keeps me coming back, and that's why I wanted to come here today, because if it can work for me, and I thought I was a pretty hopeless alcoholic, then it can work for, you know, people that are out there struggling, wondering if there is something better on offer for them as well. So I'd encourage you to come and give it a go. Thanks.
Brilliant. Thanks, Darren. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now, if you've identified with the speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and on the drop-down box under the meetings list, you'll find a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here again next Sunday on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air, and we'll close with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.